Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're very welcome back now. Just time to announce our Heineken star comment of the week. For the last few days, you've been tweeting us, texting us and leaving Facebook comments, and we have a winner. Congratulations to Trevor Holloway on Twitter, who sent in this beauty. Brian O'Driscoll using an acting analogy to describe one of Ireland's backline plays last Saturday and Off the Ball. Amy Huberman must feel like a proud mum listening in. That was Brian O'Driscoll talking about the deception and acting skills of the Irish players in how they sold the loop play that opened the way for a CJ Standard score. I think even Jacob Stockdale got a mention for how animated he was out, you know, basically with his hands in his pockets is how he should have been, but actually he sold it properly. Anyway, Brian O'Driscoll did a much better version of explaining it, which you can see on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel for all our good stuff. Yeah, so good man yourself, Trevor. You've won some Off the Ball and Heineken goodies. So do keep your comments coming in around all our rugby coverage for more chances to win our Heineken star comment of the week. We'll give you another opportunity to win next Monday and Wednesday. Now, earlier on today, Rob Ryan and Earl Thomas were in studio. They came bearing gifts as well, namely the Vince Lombardi trophy. The lads are over for the NFL UK live event presented by Subway, which is taking place in the Convention Centre tomorrow night. And here's how we got on. So you're very welcome, and a big welcome to three legends of American football. We've got Rob Ryan, Earl Thomas and Vince Lombardi. Gentlemen, you're very welcome. Thanks very much for coming.
No doubt. Thanks for having us.
How's it going so far?
Pretty good.
It's going great. That's Vince Lombardi. He's represented over there. That's
yeah. Nice. You've got rings. We can see them glistening there. You've got two rings, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You only wear one generally, or do you?
Yeah, I haven't gone with the all-in gaudy thing of two, but...
why not?
I mean, that's, you know, it's I'm fortunate to be, you know, a two-time champion, and my family's won six, so it's a special deal, and you have to earn every one of them, and it's, I know Earl's won one, they almost had two, and what a terrific player he's been, and everybody looks up to him and what he means to the league, and he's been fantastic.
Where's your ring?
My dad has it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he take it off you, or was it a gift?
No, I give him all my rings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's great.
And do you make him mind it? You're like, here, listen, I'm giving you this, but at some point you're going to have to give it back to me. Is it like...
No, I'm not an Indian giver. So I gave it to him, and he shows it to everybody he meets.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Do the rings themselves not actually mean something to you? It's more like for you now, obviously, you're still in the middle of a career, so you haven't finished with the rings, but they don't actually... You don't feel the need to wear them to signify stuff. You're still kind of gathering things. Is that why you don't wear them?
It's more of a respect factor to my pops. You know, he introduced me to the game. He showed me, you know, all the basic fundamentals. So it's more respect factor to him. And plus, everybody already know you won a Super Bowl. It's been around the world, so.
Yeah, you don't
need
to.
That's good enough for me.
No, that's fair enough. I'm glad you brought up your dad, because I wanted to talk to both of you about your history. Like, there's a fans event on Saturday night in the Convention Centre, and there's another one on in Belfast on Monday. And the NFL in Ireland and this part of the world is really beginning to take hold, and it's starting to grow, and people are learning and kind of coming to the history of the game. And your dad obviously has such a central role in, like, in all defense, but in particular with the greatest defense of all time. And I just wanted to kind of ask you a little bit and tease out a bit about your own recollection of that period of growing up and how that history of the game is transmitted to you.
Well, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I grew up, my father was defense coordinator for the Bears and all those years, and I saw him develop that defense. It didn't just happen overnight. But those players were together for a long time, and the 85 Bears, there's nothing like that team. There's nothing like that defense. And there's been some great ones. Seattle's been a great defense. Baltimore, they're the closest. But there's been one Bears team. But it's great. I mean, you grew up with professional athletes, the best of the best. You know, this is the best, you know, the most talented, gifted athletes, and the alpha males, so to speak, play in the National Football League. So to grow up to be around them, and then I've also been able now to have my sons grow up around the best athletes and the best players in the world, it's special. And it's, you know, the things you can teach: work ethic, toughness, teamwork, selflessness, those are part of being champions. And It's awesome. It's been a great experience for me. It's been a great experience for my father and also now my kids.
Were you doing review of tape as a kid? Like, because there's stories of Belichick kind of watching tape when his dad was scouting.
Yeah. You know, I want to say, you know, I drew a defense up one day and my dad liked it and called it the 46, but that was a lie. But no, I mean, just grew up around the players all the time. And then, you know, as I got further, you know, into coaching, obviously, then I grew a love of preparation.
And would he have talked to you about that kind of stuff? Like, did you seek his advice on things? Like,
absolutely.
And was it predestined that you were going to be a coach because that was the family business in a way?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, you grow up and you have heroes. And I know my father was my hero. I love the gesture that you did for your father of giving him your Super Bowl ring. You know, it's an ultimate sign of respect. But there's so much pride that he obviously has in you with your rings and things like that. I always had the same thing with my father. He's a Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion. And it's a thing we used to kid about because my brother Rex also won a Super Bowl. And so my dad had won two Super Bowls. My brother Rex had won one, and I hadn't. And it was like, hey, you can't come to the Domino's table or the family dinner until you have a Super Bowl ring. So then I have two, so now you have to have two to go. So Rex can't go. But it is a great thing. It's a thing that you're proud of. It doesn't happen by accident. I think hard work pays off. And I think the guys, you know, in professional sports have an advantage to teach their kids because they look up to them already. You know, hard work, you see what it pays off for your father. And if I do that, I want to be just as great. And so it was always great to be able to, I wasn't half the coach my father was, but I was a great one.
Is there pressure because your dad is such an iconic figure in the sport?
No, I mean, I think pressure is wherever it is. I mean, you're going to have pressure in the National Football League. But, you know, obviously you get a little gray hair if you get it. But honestly, I don't think there's pressure. Once you know you're great at something, you're gonna be like Muhammad Ali. I'm going to prove how great I am every day. And if you know you're great at what you do and any job you do, I don't think there's any pressure because how good there
when did you get that confidence then? What gave you the confidence?
I guess it was my work ethic and my, you know, ability to learn. And, you know, I wanted to prove it, you know. And so I've always been a confident person. Also may have been how I was raised. When I was around the cocky, most confident people in the world are professional athletes because that's just who they are. You know, they are. They're confident. They're successful. And if you're around that, I think, you know, that just becomes you.
Do you recognize yourself when Rob talks like that?
Of course. Self-belief is so powerful. So, especially when you're dealing with such a competitive league, you definitely have to have belief in yourself.
You obviously, at this stage, six Pro Bowls, a Super Bowl. Did you always have that confidence, though? Like, did you have it as a 12-year-old? Did you have it as a 14-year-old? Did you have it as a 16-year-old? When do you remember thinking, you know what, I am actually better than everybody here?
Yeah, so this God-given ability. So I've been like this since Pop Warner. So I've always, you know, been a step ahead of the game.
What did your dad say to you, like in terms of giving you the fundamentals of the game that allowed you then to bring that talent out and to allow it to flourish?
I think it was just the time that he spent with me. So it was a lot of one-on-one time. It was seasonal. So whether it would be football season, basketball season, baseball season, it didn't matter. He was always my coach. So we had that type of relationship.
You're from Orange in Texas.
Right.
It's like I was just looking up. It's a small town, really, population of about 15,000, 20,000.
20,000.
Yeah. So, like, from there, is there a very clear pathway to get to the big leagues? Is it kind of, you know, you have to be outstanding at high school level to be scouted properly by the right colleges? Is that the case?
It's definitely, you know, it's hard to get out of that. It's hard to get out because it's very small. We kind of isolated from everybody. But when I got my shot to go to college at Texas, that's when I got the platform I needed to get to the next level.
And when you go to Texas, do you know at that point what your role on the team is going to be? Because, like, you're referred to as a defensive back, but, like, nowadays that means, you know, you can play in a bunch of different positions. But ultimately, you are free safety, is that right?
Yeah, free safety.
So, like, when do you become a specialized free safety?
Well, I came out of high school playing running back. So they gave me a scholarship as an athlete, so I really didn't know where they was going to put me. I redshirted, and, you know, I told myself, if they give me a shot to play any position, I'm going to try to be the best at that position. So safety was my first chance to get on the grass, and I made the best of it.
So that was it. It was as simple. So, like, there's a possibility you could have played any position, really. It's just that they put you in this one, and suddenly you begin to excel.
Right.
Do you feel part of that whole narrative of football? Obviously, like, it's embedded in the Ryan's family. Like, at what point now do you feel like you're a part of that football story that goes beyond just your own individuality?
I think, you know, the people that you come across, the people that you impact, you know, that comes with the dedication that you've proven to yourself, that you've proven to your coaches, and your teammates feed off of that. And I think the impact is when you start changing, you know, your legacy and stuff.
Yeah, and, like, in your rookie season, there's a game against, I guess it was the Chargers, where there's a couple of interceptions on Phillip Rivers.
Right.
Not bad for a rookie.
Not bad at all. You know, not bad at all. And, you know, going, I remember that game going into the week, you know, Coach Carroll was on me because, you know, Phillip had a cannon. He was throwing it deep, and Coach really didn't probably trust me. You know, as a rookie, I was just running, and I was liable for the big play. And I gave up some big plays, but, you know, I never lost confidence, and I ended up catching a game-winning interception to win a game for us. So that was a big moment in my career.
And it is, like, so you had the confidence beforehand, right? But some, a lot of players come out of college and they have confidence, and then they get to the NFL and they go, these guys are bigger and faster and stronger than I thought they were going to be. But for you, in that first season, to have that breakthrough, like, obviously it gives you confidence, and on top of the confidence, but is there a realization, is there a moment where you go, not only do I deserve to be here, but I can be a dominant figure?
Right, so I learned that right off, like, as soon as I started playing in the NFL. And the preparation, you know, that I went through that summer, I was in the best shape. You know, I worked my butt off. You know, I didn't really know how to, I didn't really know how to study film, but, you know, I just had that athletic ability. I can read. I played center field in baseball, so I can read a quarterback. So I didn't have, you know, the gist of the bigger picture of the game, but I loved it so much, you know, and I just played with the passion, played free, and things just started to happen for me.
And at what point do you realize that the group of players that you're with at Seattle, that that defense is special and like can be spoken about in those terms with that Ravens team and maybe even with that Bears team?
Yeah, so you don't really realize until, like, the journey is, like, that part of the journey is over with. And then people start talking about LOB, they give you the name. You know, when you're in it, you're in it. We're just having fun, we're grinding, you know, we're trying to encourage each other in every way. We're facing adverse situations. So much stuff is happening, but it's just us.
And do you talk about LOB? Does it start to become like, so if it's given to you, you're like, yeah, we'll take that. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, at first I was like, man, I don't know about that. But, you know, after a while, I just stuck with it and I was, everybody was cool with it.
Yeah. Like, in retrospect, I mean, it's hard to ask athletes who are still playing about stuff that has recently happened. It looks like the LOB has broken up in terms of some very important constituent parts aren't going to be there anymore. But, like, to be a part of something special like that, do you appreciate the value of that?
Yes, I appreciate the relationships from that. I appreciate, you know, the success from that. I appreciate everything from that. You know, we marked our spot in history. Then, you know, they got, like you was talking about the Bears mm-hmm. defense. They always going to be talking about Seattle defense because yep. we made our mark. We did that.
Is it over?
Oh no, it's definitely not over.
Is the LOB gone? Does it have to be the LOB Mark II or something else?
You can't say LOB 1 or 2. You know, the LOB is what it is. And, you know, when we reestablish ourselves with the new group, cool.
So it's just a different group, but it's the same spirit and the same...
Oh, it's definitely the same spirit.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm back there.
How do you maintain spirit? Because we've got rugby here and we now have a really brilliant team at the moment again, but there was a period of time where one of the key players had left for a while and he came back and he said the culture had slipped away, and by saying that, suddenly everybody went and got a bit pissed off about it, to be honest, and it very quickly reestablished the culture because he was honest about it. How do you make sure that that spirit is back in Seattle in that defense, and how do you make sure that you get back to that level where you are an iconic defense again?
Right. Yeah, so you just take the steps necessary. So right now it's training. You know, right now it's, you know, keeping in communication with the guys, the young guys, through text. But right now it's all about leading by example. And then when we get back as a group, we start building there.
it seemed pretty straightforward. As a coach, you like to hear this kind of where, okay, those steps are simple and I can understand exactly what the players are doing and what the chain of responsibility is.
Right. I think the biggest thing is when you have iconic players, they glow. You know, Earl Thomas is going to go out there on the field and he may not know it, but he's glowing. And every one of his teammates sees him and they feel him. And great players can make a whole group great. And they can make them tougher. They can make them better because they are who they are. Truly great, great players, guys that, you know, were once-in-a-lifetime free safeties, once-in-a-lifetime corner, they get there together and they're special and they make their mark. So his mark, wherever he goes, wherever he stays, he's going to be there. They've lost some players, but there's still that special guy in the middle. And so can they become great again? Sure, because they're all going to be watching him. And you see the professionalism of Earl talking about how he's working out, how he's reaching out to his teammates. Great players do that, and special people do that. And that's just what you are, just being you. And that's what's so awesome about this league. You've got the best players in the world playing, and when they're teammates and they all play in the right way and they play together, special things happen.
That sounds exactly like what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that totally.
Am I right in saying you won both your rings with the Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Seattle beat us because their offense was scared. Or I was going for a third. My Vince Lombardi sitting over there, his playoff record is 9-1. Well, the guy who's 7-1 who's in second place is me. I'm 7-1, but they knocked us off because I wanted to be undefeated. But, you know, but you went on to the Super Bowl that year, too.
What year was that?
Was it 13?
It was 13. 13? Yep. 13 season.
What separated the winning teams from the teams who didn't quite make it?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, you talk about culture. I think you have to have a winning culture. You're never going to get there. You have to have commitment. I think teams, they say, well, we're in, we're this. But the truly great teams are all smart, tough, competitive, selfless, and football's important. If you have all those characteristics, you have a chance to be special. If you don't have them, you're missing one or two, you'll never get there.
A bunch of teams probably who are good enough to reach the final or the championship games are very close to having most of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it just comes down to a bit of luck or slightly better collection of players.
Well, I think players win games and win championships. Before, you know, and it's players over schemes. I think as a coach, you want to help the players as much as possible, and that's your job. But as players, they affect every play out there. They make every play on the field. So for something special to happen as a group, you have to all be together, and it's the players that win everything.
For a coach to say that, obviously that requires a bit of humility and so a bit of courage. So it's like, I'm not going to be in the ear of the quarterback until the very last second, exactly tell them what to do. And, you know.
With the way things are, I mean, eventually you got to let it go. I remember the great Warren Sapp, who I had the privilege to coach for 4 years in Oakland, did tell me, he goes, Rob, you do realize you're not playing, right? Because I get a little emotional and get excited and want to be out there with him so much. You know, you almost think you're playing a game, but I haven't taken a hit yet. Well, occasionally on the sideline. but I love their toughness. I love their courage, and I just have their back, you know, and I always will.
Earl, do you ever recover from the defeats? Like, do you make peace with the defeat in the Super Bowl to the Patriots? Is that something that as an athlete you have to do, or is it something as a professional you need to compartmentalize and go, well, I won't be able to be as good as I can be again if I'm still worried about that? What's the balance to be struck there?
Yeah, just how you look at it. So you use it as a, you know, tool to like keep going forward. It just adds to the fire. So if you was, you know, missing motivation, that's your motivation right there in your face.
So you think about it and you deal with it as opposed to hiding it away and suppressing it.
No, you can't live life like that. You know, you just you feel it, you know, you recognize it, it's going to stay with you for a little bit. But like when you're training, like if you want to like stop, that'll give you the extra push you need to like just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, so.
How has this offseason been for you? You're 1 year left of your deal at Seattle, and I think they've been talking about how they'd like you to stay. Is that likely to happen? Do you know what's going to happen?
Hopefully I'll stay. But right now, nobody knows. It's a guessing game, so we'll see.
Is that a difficult way to live? Like, is that a difficult way to make plans for the future? And to like, how do you compartmentalize that bit? Like, because we've seen trades happen, we've seen guys sign long-term deals. Kilgore was signed a deal with the 49ers, and then 3 days later he gets traded. So it's a cutthroat industry, and you know, you've got to maximize your potential as a business for the time that you're doing it. Right. How do you deal with that emotionally?
Well, in my case, whether I'm in Seattle or anywhere else, I'm going to be rich and happy regardless. So it's a cutthroat league, but you know, if you're at the top of your game and you don't give them any reasons to devalue you, good. Yeah. So that's just how I look at it.
It's not a bad outlook. Yeah. I'm going to be rich and happy no matter what happens.
Right.
Yeah. What about Richard Sherman playing for San Francisco? That's going to be a bit weird, right?
It definitely is. You know, see Sherman on the other side, it's going to be different. But it's going to be football at the end of the day, and we're still going to be great friends. I'm actually going to his wedding as soon as I leave here.
Right.
He's getting married in the Dominican Republic. So me and my wife and my kids, we're going to go out there and support him and his wife. So the relationship is going to always be there. You can't throw away all the great times we had.
Yeah, and that would be ridiculous. And it's great to hear that still happens. He did say some stuff about Pete Carroll that...
That's between him and Pete.
That's how that works, right? Sure. It's like, when you're leaving, you've got to throw stuff out. Rob, do you want to get back into coaching? I mean, we see how cutthroat this is. That like,
yeah, I mean, shoot, I've been fired plenty before. I've been out of work for a year. So the first thing I do is go back, evaluate myself. How am I going to do things better? And, you know, I can't wait because, look, the best thing about it is these guys keep you young. It's the most competitive league there is. And so I love it. I mean, I do. I've enjoyed doing the media things. I like covering the NFL.
But it's not the same. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's not the same. You don't, you know... I actually sleep well at night now. I don't worry about wins and losses. I'm not held accountable if we lose, you know. So those things are there. But there's nothing like sidelines. There's nothing like the NFL on Sundays. And, you know, it's awesome. It's just, you know, one thing NFL does, you know, the thing is a player or a coach, you know, you get friends for life. You make friends for life. You talk about, you know, going, you know, Earl's going to Richard's wedding and all that things. Those friends are going to be there for life. He talked about he's got money and all that. The NFL provides you that. I mean, shoot, they pay coaches great too, which was all, you know, when you're good, like myself. And so you have a great future. But the thing you never get promised, you're not guaranteed a championship. You have to earn those. And we've both earned them. We've been in programs that have won them. And there's not a better feeling in the world than when you walk off a field champion.
Do you need to go back in as a coordinator? Would you be happy going in a different role? Do you want to, like, what is your access back into the league?
Well, look, I've been fortunate to be around professional football my whole life. I've coached in the league for 20 years. Eventually somebody will want to hire a great coach, and I'll get back in. And if they don't, look, I've done a great job. So
does it matter in what role to you? Like, would you be saying, I'm not going to take I don't want to go back to looking after linebackers?
I don't say never for never. I mean, you know, the biggest thing is you know, I need to prove myself again, and I'll bet on me. Whatever job I'm going to do, I'm going to do great.
One last thing, right? Obviously, last year it looked like viewership figures were down and the league was coming under a lot of criticism about the future of the sport and all that kind of stuff. And from this part of the world, it seems like the viewership figures are down because people are watching illegal streams on their computers, and that's why the viewership figures are down. I know we're not really allowed to talk about that kind of stuff, but as opposed to anybody falling out of love with the game, I don't know, as people who are centrally involved in the NFL, do you really feel like people are less interested in watching NFL or talking about NFL or being a part of it than they were 5 or 6 years ago?
I feel like it's still exciting. I feel like everybody's still watching it. I haven't heard any I guess you can put that in a black market. I haven't heard anything like that.
No, just because, you know, the way the viewership figures are down, and they're saying it's because of the anthem protests, and that never really seemed to make that much sense.
They can say that. The biggest thing is the NFL is the most popular sport in the world. It's viewed by everybody in America. It's so popular. There's nothing close. So they can say, well, the viewership's down. Really? Well, it's only 100 times more viewed than the second sport. I mean, you know, it's the most popular sport in the world, played by the greatest athletes in the world.
Do you feel like the league itself and the owners could have done a better job of helping the players to express themselves over that whole period?
I think they've done a great job now. I think there was a problem at first with the communication, but I think Malcolm Jenkins, who's a star, is a great person on and off the field, gets with a lot of people, and they found a solution together. Hey, look, this league works best together. You got the players, you've got the ownership, and they get together and they make the best league in the world. So this was a problem that was going on early. We're trying to get a solution for it. It's working out. You know, in my opinion, the working and the progress is being made to get what everybody wants, the players want, and I think they're coming with a great solution. I really do. The NFL is providing money for that. I know Malcolm was working every day in his days off to get things right. Guys are working in the off season to get, you know, to make things better, and I think the NFL makes things better, makes America better. It really does.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I agree with Coach. I definitely agree with him. But as far as with the protest, it's okay for guys to express how they feel. I agree. Like, if that's how you feel, cool. I'm not going to say, oh, he's wrong. That's just how you feel.
Yeah, it's important to have that freedom as well, because right. That's kind of the definition of freedom, right?
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
It's too early. It's too early.
Well, we won it the offseason 2 years ago, and then I got fired. So I don't think they don't hand those awards out in the offseason. You have to earn them.
All right. Well, listen, guys, it's been brilliant having you. Enjoy the rest of your time in Ireland. Thanks very much.
All right, we will.
Thank you.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter @OffTheBall.
News Talk 106 to 108.